No filter?
You have no filter.
That's
pretty obvious.
That's true. That's a good thing.
You say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your feelings at all.
Yeah, it's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
All right. Welcome into The Filter with Al's brother, myself, got Aaron Karolnik, and Frank Corrado. We're here hosting Overdrive today. And The Filter, it's something that we've done on the show many, many times. And the way that it works, fellas, and listeners who aren't aware. So I got a bunch of statements that I'm going to make. Some kind of things that have been percolating in my mind. I want to tweet them out, but I got to put them through The Filter first, which is you two.
Yep.
And you got to let me know, do I send the tweet? Do I put in the draft, kind of wait on it, or is it such a bad take, such a bad tweet that I got to delete my account?
Ooh, all right.
So those are the three options.
Important responsibilities for you and I, Frank.
Yeah. We don't want him tweeting anything too controversial.
Definitely
we don't
not.
Want him any bad takes out there, so we're going to help him out.
I have a feeling a few bad takes could be coming. Al's brother, take it away. What do we got for you?
They very well could be coming. We'll start with one about Yusei Kikuchi. This guy, man, who he's been a tire fire lately. But my thing that I want to put through the filter, with chicken strips returning to the rotation, Yusei Kikuchi has made his final start as a blue of the season.
Of the season. Not in total, because of course Yusei Kikuchi has two more years left at I guess it was $10 million per kid. So I guess he's getting more money up front. Must be nice for Yusei Kikuchi.
A lot of leverage for a guy who's an experiment.
So that means he got $16 million this year, he's getting $10 million the next 2 years.
That's why he's wearing jersey number 16 to remind everyone how many million he got this year.
I'm gonna send the tweet. I just don't see a way in which Yusei Kikuchi starts another game for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. As you mentioned, Stripling coming back this week. Mitch White's okay. But, I mean, we've seen enough. They are 6-14 are the Toronto Blue Jays in Yusei Kikuchi starts. What more do you need to see to eliminate this man from starting ball games? He leaves you in a deficit almost every time he starts a game for you, giving up runs in the first inning. It's enough. Send a tweet out, brother, and tell John Schneider to follow suit.
Yeah, see, the thing with this tweet, it's not controversial at all. Anyone could tweet this out and be on the money. I wonder if Kikuchi, if it's a day-by-day thing, and not, it has nothing to do with Kikuchi. They know what he is. They know how he's going to pitch. But is it a day-by-day thing as far as the team, if they're going to get wins? Like, if they win out until Kikuchi's next scheduled start, does he get that start? Just to say that, okay, we got a little bit of a cushion. Now you can pitch again. You'll get lit up, and then we'll try and get some more wins. But at least we gave you another shot. But if they lose tonight, and they lose again, and then you rack up a couple more losses, and then it's Kikuchi's start, you're not starting him.
Are you going to give him a start in the Bronx, like against the Yankees?
Built up some cushion, then you could soften it by saying, okay, you'll pitch, we got a little bit of a cushion. But if it's ugly, I don't see him making another start this season. I see him going to the bullpen.
Yeah, like I agree with you. The only pushback that I think you could say is, A, if he's not making another start, like what happens with injuries? Injuries occur. Who else are you going to put out there to start ball games if not Kikuchi?
Maybe Max Castillo. You find some guys in Triple A. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, you got to find some dudes in Triple A. Who cares? That's my answer. It doesn't matter. How could you do worse than Yusei Kikuchi?
Yeah, that's fair.
I cannot fathom a way in which you...
He's got an ERA of above 7 in his last
11
starts.
The dude is a walking loss.
It's no good. You could send that tweet, though. I think you can send it.
Yeah, you should send it.
I agree.
What else you got?
All right, so we're keeping with the Blue Jays, keeping with the terrible pitching. This one, we're talking about Jose Berríos, and Jays management must be sweating looking at that Jose Berríos contract, considering you're only in year one. Yikes. But I think the more thing is, I don't think he makes it to the end of that contract as a Blue Jay.
Oh, wow. An amendment to the filter. I love it. Well, okay, yikes, obviously. I mean, Berríos, as bad as he's been and as inconsistent he has been, the Jays are still 16-7 in his starts this year. Which,
that's why wins and losses
it's
such a dumb
It's good fortune, because Berríos has been just as bad as Kikuchi has been on the road.
He's been bad. He's actually been even worse on the road.
On the road, he's terrible. Yes. At home, he's adequate, and notwithstanding.
At times.
Isn't that the lowest ERA in the American League?
the lowest ERA in the American League at home, you mean, Berríos?
No, just in general.
Like the worst.
Like you mean the worst? The highest ERA.
The highest ERA.
Definitely not the lowest.
Worst ERA.
This is a cold, hot take thing with you and Carlo.
Yes, that's right. We did have a situation like that. As far as the Jays management saying, yikes, like, yeah, obviously, 7 years, $131 million, inconsistent, would be putting it mildly. That being said, I mean, it's not in the Yusei Kikuchi realm of terrible contracts yet, but the financial commitment is to the degree for Berríos that you're just like, man, if this guy doesn't get it together, forget this year, next year, the subsequent 5 years, that's a major, major issue. That's a, I would say, a fireable offense. That contract is bad enough if he actually has lost it, and I'm not saying he has, but he has not been nearly as good this year as he was for the Jays or the Twins previously. Yeah, I think you can send that one too.
Send that tweet. Yeah. I think you can send it as well. I think he gets way more rope than Kikuchi because he's earned it and the team has won because of him. I also think he's the biggest X factor on this team. Like, we talk about it all the time, how Manoah and Gausman have to carry so much of the load. Well, listen, if this guy could come around more consistently to the pitching that we're accustomed to from him, that's just going to ease so much for those two guys. So, yes, they should be worried. You can use the word yikes. You can, you know, I can't even remember the wording on it, but you can definitely send that tweet. But knowing that they're going to give him more time than they would other pitchers to work it out because there is a commitment involved. And you know what he can be. Kikuchi has never showed that he can be a legitimate top three, top four starter in the MLB. Berríos is.
Yeah, there's a track record with Berríos where you can have that patience with Kikuchi.
Yeah.
No.
So you're sending both tweets so far.
All right.
Anything controversial? What do we got?
Well, this one might be a little controversial. We'll head to the ice, and what we've seen Connor Bedard do this past week and a half has been exceptional. And here's what I'm thinking, boys. Connor Bedard is so good. He might be the first rookie since Crosby and Ovechkin to score 100 points in his rookie season.
Here we go.
Oh, that's a tough one. And I think you have to look at it in the way that you have to figure out who he's going to be playing with, right? I mean, I will say, if Connor Bedard's playing with Patrick Kane, I don't know if it's completely outlandish, but I know there were a lot of guys who scored 100 points this year in the NHL. I think the number was like 10 or 11.
Scoring was up.
I don't know how consistent that will be year to year. I don't think you send that tweet. That could be something you stick in your drafts. Deleting your account might be a tad extreme, but definitely do not send that one, Al's brother.
Yeah, I mean, Connor McDavid's first year, he did get hurt, but he had 48 points in 45 games. You try and do that through an 82-game
season. Like 92, 93 points.
It's close. Like, I think
McDavid, like, when I'm watching this kid play right now as a 16, 17-year-old, McDavid didn't look this good in these international games.
Well, the thing with McDavid is a lot of solo individual efforts, which really separates him from a lot of players. But Bedard, like, yeah, he's solo individual efforts, but he works off of guys really well. You know, like, you saw the give-and-go goal with Mason McTavish. Like,
he plays up those first, second assists that way.
He plays off the puck really well. He doesn't just rely on speed, which McDavid relies on speed among many other things that he's very, very good at. Al's brother, I'm going to say you can send this just based on the fact that, yeah, it's a little bit of a hot take for sure, but you can go back on that maybe in a year's time and be like, yeah, I'm Al's brother and I called it. And I was bold enough to say it that this guy's going to get 100 points in his rookie season. For the record, I don't think he will get 100 points, but when you look at Connor McDavid having 48 and 45 on a bad Edmonton team, Bedard is likely going to go to a really bad team as well. There's a chance he's sniffing around that 90 to 100 range, so I don't think it's that outlandish.
Know how many points he scored this year in the dub in his quote-unquote rookie season?
Please share.
100.
Oh,
okay.
You know, very easy 100. to extrapolate this to the NHL.
So clearly,
so what do you think this year? 100, 120, 125 in the WHL this year?
I think he lights it up this year. Yeah, we're definitely 120.
I hope we're sitting here
180. That's the tick. 180. Send it 200.
Well, no, don't send that. I hope we're sitting here. Well, or someone's sitting here. You're sitting here in 2 years and saying, "Yeah, I was right 2 years ago. Bedard got 100 points his rookie season."
Save the audio, Grappler. Save the audio. We're gonna need that in 2 years.
Keep the receipts, else, brother.
What else we got, AB?
All right, we got one more here, gentlemen, and this is one that I'm very passionate about. We all know how much I love fantasy football and football in general, right? Well, this is what I believe. Punters need to be incorporated into fantasy football. Hashtag punters are people too, my friends.
Wow. Does Elon Musk still have some kind of stake in Twitter? Is that not a thing anymore? Because we might have to reach out to him to ensure that Al's brother deletes his account based on this abysmal take. You want punters? You want to create categories for punters?
Are you listening to Pat McAfee or something?
I do love myself some Pat punters. McAfee. Being a Colts fan, I grew up watching Pat McAfee. Yeah. And imagine if I was able to draft Pat McAfee in fantasy. Matt Araiza, the punt god, he's going to absolutely take the punting position, and he's going to just make it into a rock star position.
So what do you want? What do you want as far as categories? Go ahead.
So I'm glad you asked, because I figured out, not only do I have what I want, I also have the solution in the scoring categories here, okay? If you can punt it to within the 5-yard line, right? Punt it within the 5-yard line, that's worth 5 points. Within the 10, worth 4 points. Within the 15, 3. Within the 20, that's 2. Touchback, 1 point. What do you think about that?
I mean, I love you, buddy, and I appreciate that you want to support punters, but that's an abysmal take. That's a delete your account. We don't need more scoring players in fantasy football. I don't even think kickers should have a place in fantasy football. I'm also very anti-team defense. So to add a punter in addition to a kicker and a defense, way too much variance for me. Delete that account, my man.
Yeah, I'm not as hot and bothered by this as AK.
Obviously, offended.
He's played a lot of years of fantasy football. It's something a little more new to me. but I'm just going to say put it in your drafts for now. Maybe people will warm up to the idea. I think you got to just...
Telling you, Matt Araiza is going to revolutionize the position. Okay?
I think you got to work it
in. Kick the ball further?
A year from now. Did you see that 82-yard bomb?
I saw it. But did you see the other kicks he made? Very normal. For whatever reason, he booted that one.
The only people who appreciate punts are punters or former punters. But I think you just massage it in. Keep massaging it in. At some point, maybe you release that tweet. But for now, keep it in the drafts, buddy.
All right.
And that's a tough one. I know the Grappler wanted to chime in with a filter question of his own. Go ahead, Keith.
Before I get to that, I would just like to point out that we are interested in facts on this show. So I wanted to corroborate what O said about Duthie shooting a 122.
Okay.
And he would like to hop on at 6 p.m. to discuss.
Exciting.
So, late edition of James Duthie to kick off.
This guy doesn't get enough airtime on the World Juniors. Needs to jump on this show, too. All right, so looking forward to chatting with JD.
By the way, we do have the scorecard that James Duthie posted on the Golf Canada app. Keith, maybe I'll send that over to you and Joe from the Bridge if we want to put that up.
I think we could use
Duthie
that.
Duthie is rare individual who goes hole by hole when he posts his scores.
I do as well.
That's a new thing for you.
Yes. How do you know that's a new thing for
me? I have been tracking you very closely for many, many months, Frank. But yes, I don't see why anyone would do that personally. But, you know, Duthie has a lot of time on his hands. You know, not enough podcasts and television appearances. Graps, go ahead.
Okay. Without an elite wide receiver, Aaron Rodgers has no shot at winning a third consecutive NFL MVP award.
I love this one. You know what? I'm going to say that Keith should send this tweet. And when you talk about Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Romeo Dubs. Come on. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to rack up the statistics commensurate with an NFL MVP season. Losing Davante Adams is going to be catastrophic for his MVP candidacy. Not necessarily huge for the Packers winning and losing games. But I think as far as winning MVP, you got to put up some serious numbers. Send that tweet, Graps.
I agree with you, AK. I think you can send that tweet. And you know why? That's because Josh Allen is going to be the MVP.
Ooh. Bang!
Oh, God. We almost made it two hours without hearing that. Almost.
The bang. That's something that haunts my dreams. I wake up like, the bang, not that.
It slaps
sound.
You in the face,
It really does. It really does.
And that should be your ringtone to get you up at 5:30 in the morning before you...
I saw on the TSN Edge Twitter account, they posted a video with Carlo with his new Bills alter ego, which, I love
the sunglasses.
I love the stuff TSN Edge puts out, but Carlo and the Bills, not a lot of unbiased opinions there.
Bang!
As far as what the Grappler put out there, Al's brother, how do you recommend he handle that on Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate take to make. I think you could send that for sure. It's going to be tough. I mean, like you said, AK, the team's not going to lose games. Like, they're still going to win. It's still a putrid division. Like, the Bears are god awful. The Lions haven't been able to win a game in years.
Yeah.
The Vikings might be okay, but still, they're going to be the cream of the crop. So they'll still win games, and they got a pretty good defense. And I think that they're really going to try and run the ball a lot more this year, too. You've got both A.J. Dillon. You signed Aaron Jones to a big contract last year. I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more than they had in the past. So I just don't see him putting up the type of numbers that is commensurate with a third consecutive MVP.
You almost said, I just don't see it happening, almost, didn't you?
How bad did you want to say it? Stop myself.
It's a classic Al's brother-ism that we utilize.
What is
a
he
lot
currently? I'm checking right now what he currently is.
Well, Rodgers has to be MVP. Amongst the top 3-5 candidates. You'd have Josh Allen, of course, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. He's fifth? 10-1.
Okay, that's on FanDuel.
So on FanDuel. So you got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady at 3.
Herbert.
Course, and then
Herbert.
Aaron Rodgers.
Trendy selection.
Yeah, it's a very trendy.
Justin Herbert.
Actually, this morning on the morning show, we made a wager watch with Carlo and I.
Oh, exciting.
For who's going to win the AFC West. I'm on the Chargers. This guy took the Raiders. Oh, he's high on the Raiders.
That's a classic. I thought he was going to say the Chiefs. Like
so
any
did
normal,
I.
Any
so
normal
did I.
Person
but he's like,
say,
I'm on the Raiders. I'm like, all right.
Has
wager.
Carlos seen who plays on the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders? Not exactly.
Who like Max Crosby?
Yeah, that's one individual. There's a lot of players on defense. I'm not a big fan of the Raiders. Offensively, no doubt. Defensively, not the best, to quote Louis DeMille.